EF United, a premier Cold Fusion conference by TerraTech Programming. Created by developers for developers.
Well, let's get started. Looks like I'm introducing myself. So I'm Vince Bonfanti. I'm the president and founder of New Atlanta. We're the makers of Blue Dragon. I'm very happy that you all are here. I'm very happy to be here. I've got some very interesting and exciting things to tell you.
A good thing, what you can do with this. First of all, how do you create a threat? So let's talk about this. You're familiar with the concept of when your page starts executing, that request executes from top to bottom. It executes the CFML statements to the from top to bottom until it's done. What's going to happen is we've introduced a new tag called CF thread. And any CFML code that you want run on a separate thread, you place in the body of the CF thread tag. So now what happens is your page is executing from the top. It hits a CF thread tag. Now you're going to have two threads running. One thread is going to run within the CF thread body. The other thread is going to continue to execute your page after the CF thread body. So now you've got two paths of execution. You've got two threads of execution running simultaneously within your code. And that's the whole power of what this is doing right there. One of the things we have to address is, and that we have to be aware of, is this question of how long does a thread live? So when I talk about a thread, I'm talking about the thread that's running in the CF thread body. We know how long the request thread lives. The request thread lives until you're done, right? It runs from the top of your page to the bottom of your page. When you get to the bottom of the page, it stops, and it doesn't exist anymore. The CF thread that you, the thread that you create using CF thread actually lives until it's finished executing that body of that tag. Well, how long is that going to be? Well, that depends what you're doing inside that CF thread body. And the thread inside the CF thread body can actually live longer than the request thread that created it. Okay, or it could live shorter. It's just one thing to be aware of, and we'll see in some of the examples why this is important, but it's an important concept to understand, that you can actually create a thread that lives longer than the request thread that created it. Okay, so we know how to create a thread. One of the questions is, now how are we going to pass data to it, right? Obviously, we might want to pass, like a custom tag or a function, we want to pass data to have it do some work for us. There's two ways to do it. One is when you create a new CF thread body, it has access to the application scope that the request was running on. Okay? So any application data. So in this example, notice the very first thing that I do is I create an application scope variable, application.dsn, set it to the value my data source. Within the CF thread body, in the CF query tag, I can reference application.dsn. So I have access to, so one way for your request thread, so the CF set tag is running on the request thread. Notice that as soon as I hit the CF thread tag, I'm now running on a separate thread. I can pass data back and forth between these two threads simply by writing it to the application scope. And again, this is a concept that should be familiar to you because that's exactly what you do today with the application scope with multiple request threads. You put data in the application scope, anybody can get to it. Same thing happens here. The other thing that you can do on CF thread is you can pass attributes to it. And this is very similar to the concept of a custom tag. You can put arbitrary attributes on the CF thread tag. In this case, I put first name and last name. You can put anything that you want there, and those attribute names and values get put into an attribute scope that the thread body can have access to. So if you look inside the CF query, notice that I'm doing an insert into the employees database, and I'm getting attributes.firstname, attributes.lastname. So again, when you create a new thread using CF thread, you have two ways to pass data to it. Use the application scope, use attributes to pass to it. Now, one thing to realize when we're talking about scopes is that CF thread body does not have access to the request scope. It doesn't have access to the CGI scope, doesn't have access to the session scope of the original request. If you remember what I just talked about thread lifetimes, the reason that is because that CF thread can live longer than the request. Well, if the CF thread can live longer than the request, it doesn't make sense for it to access that request scope because that request scope may not be valid for the duration of the processing of CF thread. So what we do is we simply say, okay, CF thread can't get access to the request scope. Also, the CF thread, when you create a new thread, it gets its own variable scope. It does not inherit the variable scope of the page. Okay, so again, very similar to a custom tag, it's got its own separate variable scope. So the only way, just to reiterate, to pass data is application scope attributes. We'll show some examples of doing that. One thing else to realize, if you look at this example that I have, basically this is an example of what we call a fire and forget. In other words, once we've created the CF thread, we don't care when it's finished. There's no code here that checks to see when it's done. We basically say, okay, CF thread, go do this insert, and then we don't care when you do that. Well, sometimes you do care when a thread is finished. And sometimes you want to wait for that thread. So you have a request thread, and again, I'm going to give you some demonstration of this. You have a request thread that creates a separate thread. Your request thread is going to go do some work. Your CF thread is going to do some work, but now the request thread wants to wait till the other thread is finished to get the results of whatever it was doing before it proceeds. We call that a join. Okay, a join, it's not a term that we made up. This is sort of a standard computer science term. If you've ever done Java programming or C programming or C# programming, the notion of joining a thread basically says wait here until that other thread finishes. And so what we've done here is I've done something a little bit different that I didn't do in the previous example. I actually gave a name to my thread. So the name is an optional attribute, and it works just like a CF query name does. When you give CF query a name, you end up with a query variable of that name. Same thing with the CF thread. When you give it a name, you end up with a thread variable of that name, and I actually use that name later. Again, here I've got this new CF join tag, and what the CF join says is, okay, the request thread is going to wait and stop right there and not continue executing until the thread is finished. This will become more clear in the examples. How do I get data back from the thread? Okay, so we know how to create a thread. We know how to pass data to the thread. Well, now that thread's done some work for us, we want to get some data back from it. It's very simple. You'll notice that this example, just the title change, this is exactly the same as the previous slide. What happens is that thread variable, in this case the name is my thread, when the thread is finished, only when the thread is finished, it then becomes populated with the variable scope from the CF thread body. So in this case, in the CF thread body, I created a variable scope variable called message, assigned it the value hello world. My request thread then did a join, waited for that thread to finish, and then notice it was able to do a CF output and simply say my thread.message. It was able to access the full variable scope of that CF thread body. So that's how you can pass data back. And again, the example is going to make all this stuff perfectly clear. So let's take a look. So what I've done in the first example, I've set up a little example, and what I want to do is I've created this get stock quote function, and I use this in all the examples. So let's go through this very briefly, and then we won't have to look at it again. What the get stock quote does, first of all, how's that font in the back? Does everyone read that? Good? Okay. So the get stock quote, what it does is it takes a single argument, a ticker symbol, and with that symbol, it actually invokes an external web service. And this web service is at this webservicex.net. And what it's going to do is it's going to do a stock quote lookup. It gets back an XML string. We parse that XML string, and we simply extract the price and the time of that quote and put it into this structure, and then we just return that structure. Okay. So the idea is you give it a stock ticker symbol. It goes and does a web service, gets the price and time, gives it back to you in a struct. Also, there's a little bit of error handling. In case there's an error, we actually get error back. So the get stock quote is very simple. And so what I'm going to do here is I'm going to get the quote for Adobe and actually display it in the page. So let's take a look at that. And this is number one. So let's just refresh. And the thing that I'm interested in watching here is the processing time. And if you look at the debug output at the bottom, let's see if we just do a refresh a few times. It's a web service, and so since I'm going out of the network, the processing time is pretty variable. Looks like 730 milliseconds, that's the best so far. 441, that's the time that I was looking for. 420, 510. So it's a fairly lengthy process just to get one quote. Okay, it's taken me somewhere between 500 and 800 milliseconds, 691. So you get the idea. What happens, though, if I go to a page that I'm going to get four stock quotes? Okay, I'm going to get Adobe, BEA, Microsoft, and Red Hat. Right? Well, we know how long one quote took. We would expect that it's probably going to take about four times as long. Let's see if we do a refresh here. So what was it taking on the first one? We said 410. It was actually very... So there, it took 2.2 seconds to get four. Let's refresh it again. It's actually running faster other times, but again, this is the deal with the web services. It's variable. That was a pretty long time, 22 seconds. So the idea is, as I extend this page, so about 5 seconds that time, as I make this stock quote page, as I add more and more quotes, it's a serial increase in the amount of time. It takes longer and longer and longer because currently in Cold Fusion, I can only do those web services calls one at a time. Okay. Well, what CF thread is going to allow me to do, if we take the stock 3 example, now I'm going to take each one of those get stock quote calls and I'm going to put them inside a CF thread. Okay, so what I'm doing here is I'm creating another thread of execution, and I'm going to do that 3 times. I'm going to do that for Adobe, BEA, Microsoft. I'm going to go ahead and run the Red Hat quote on the request thread. So now the idea is instead of doing those web service calls one at a time, I'm going to do all 4 of them at the same time. Okay, and at the bottom here, notice here's where my CF join comes in. I'm going CF join again. It tells the request thread. So the request thread is going to spin off 3 other threads. It's going to go ahead and get the Red Hat quote, and then it's going to wait for the other 3 to finish. That's what the CF join is doing. Okay, it's saying, okay, when those guys are done, let me wait here until they're done. And then the notion about passing data back. Notice what I do in the Adobe thread is I actually create a local variable called quote. Here, which gets a structure back, right? It's a structure that contains the price and the time. So at the bottom, I say adobe.quote.price. That's how I'm going to pull it back out, adobe.quote.time. So that's how I pass the data back from the thread to my main request thread. So let's go ahead and run that. Was that number 3? And what we should see is it should work a little bit faster. I'm getting such variable times here, it's a little bit... let's see if we can get some good runs here to get us good times. 5 seconds, kind of slow. 2 seconds. Okay, 1.8, so it's better. All right, so it looks like I'm homing in on 1.8. Okay, 591. There's no way I could have gotten 591 milliseconds running the 4 of them sequentially. Right, so what I've seen, like I said, I'm getting such variable times it's hard to see, but you can see that there's generally an improvement over the number 2 example where I was getting more like in the 5 and 6 second timing. So the idea is that any time you have long-running requests, or I shouldn't say requests, long-running tasks, right? So a web service, I'm reaching out on the internet, it takes a long time. Maybe I have a database queries that are independent of each other that take a long time. Maybe I've got some file... actions, which again tend to be slow anytime you're doing file system interactions. These are candidates for being run on separate threads and doing things in parallel. Let me show you one more thing that we can do with this. Now, it doesn't really make sense. My stock quote service probably isn't updating those values all the time, right? So there's like some delay. Maybe it's 15 minutes, maybe it's 20 minutes. So there's really, it doesn't make sense for me to go in and get those quotes every time somebody requests the page. What I'm going to do instead is I'm going to create an application CFC. I assume everyone's familiar with application CFC. If you're not, I think this should be self-explanatory. It replaces the application.cfm. It's got some events. On application start is one of the events. And what I'm going to do here in the on application start is the very first thing I'm going to do, well, let's look at the get all quotes function. The get stock quote function is the same as we've looked at before. Get all quotes is simply going to get all the 4 quotes that I want and actually place them in application scope variables. Okay? And so what I'm going to do, as soon as my application starts up, I'm going to go ahead and get all the quotes. Then I'm going to create a new thread. And what this thread is going to do is loop, I'm going to talk about this isActive variable in a minute. Okay, but the idea is I'm going to loop on that is active variable. The first thing I'm going to do in that loop is use a Blue Dragon tag called cfpause. What the cfpause says is go to sleep for 10 seconds and do nothing and wake up, and then I'm going to do my get all quotes again. So the idea is what I'm doing here is as soon as my application starts up, I've started a new thread. What that thread is going to do is going to continue running, and as long as my application is running, every 10 seconds, it's going to get the quote, and it's going to update my application variables. Okay, and this thread is running basically continuously in the background as long as my application is alive. And then what I'm going to do in my new stock page now is I'm simply going to read the application variables. Okay, so now what I've done is I've taken my page where I used to go out and do web service calls in order to do the quote lookups. I'm not going to do that live at request time. I'm going to do that on the background so I know that I've always got the latest data running every 10 seconds, and I'm simply going to pull it out of the application scope. And of course, if we do this, we're going to see that our time should be a whole lot faster. Give it a little bit startup time. Let me go find the... if we just refresh that, we can see basically now it takes zero time to run our request, right? Because all our request is doing is reading the application scope variables. And just to show you that, I actually have it do some logging here, right? So it does a CF log that the thread started, and I have it doing a CF log every time it updates the quote. So just to show you that this is really running, let's go ahead and take a look at the CF log for that. And it should be diving into the folders, application log. And of course, I forgot to clear it. So we go down to the bottom and notice that today's the 30th, about 11:20. So there I see my log that says it started. There's my log that says that it updated. And actually, I should have probably had another update since I've got it running every 10 seconds. Let's see. And so sure enough, there's another update. So you can see our background thread is running every 10 seconds, updating the stop quote, putting in the application scope. And so you can extend this sort of this background processing, you know, almost think of it as like a super CF schedule, right? Where you can now create background tasks to do pretty much anything that you can imagine doing to do this kind of background data updating to make data available to your application. And again, the whole emphasis of all of this really is performance improvement. All right, to get better performance out of your application by having these threads do work that you would normally be doing on a request thread that normally would have your user waiting, right, for that data to come back. Well, don't make your user wait anymore. Figure out how to do multiple threads to get better performance and get a response time to your users. So that is one more example I want to show of that you can do with the background thread. There's a logging example. And again, this is an application CFC example. This is a rather simple example. Again, within my application.cfc, let's say that you want to do some custom logging feature. So you don't like the logging of your database. You want to do logging of your request, and you have some special data that you want to log. So you're going to insert data into a database. And here's an example in my on request end. In this case, I'm just going to do the request time, the page, remote address, HTTP user. Well, there's no in this. If you coded it like this, basically your request is going to have to wait for that insert to be done before you actually return the page to the user. Well, there's no reason to do that, right? Your user doesn't care if you've inserted data into the database. So what we're going to do, let's just comment this out. We're going to take that same CF query and in this case simply wrap it in a CF thread tag. And what this says is now I'm going to create a new thread. I'm going to pass it the attributes that I want, which is the time and the target page, etc. And then I'm going to take that insert and I'm going to do it on a background thread so that my user doesn't have to wait. Okay, the request doesn't have to wait for this to finish. Again, realize that as soon as we hit the CF thread, the request thread immediately continues executing and while the CF thread goes off and does its thing. So here's an example, again, of where using a thread to do some background work for you, you can give a better responsiveness to your user because you can return a request to them immediately instead of waiting for that work to get done. Let me show you one thing, by the way. If any of you have heard of CF Eclipse or never used it, this demonstration that I'm actually using is with CF Eclipse. This is the latest version, the latest beta that was released. And one of the new features that they added is if you go to the preferences, actually not there, it's in the project properties. One of the things that you can do is specify the CFML language version. Notice that BlueDragon 7 I've got selected as the CFML language version. That's how it was able to know to do the syntax highlighting of my CF thread, right? And also, if I do a new CF thread, it should, well, give me my pop-up. Not sure why that's not working. But the idea is that the syntax highlighting in the IntelliSense is enabled because of this option. This is actually a feature that we sponsored the CF Eclipse group to do. When I say sponsored, we gave them money, right, so that they would do it. But we didn't do it totally selfishly, okay? We had a selfish reason. We wanted BlueDragon in there, but also they added the ability to do the different Cold Fusion versions. So one of the reasons now, even if you don't use BlueDragon, if you use CF Eclipse, you now have the ability to select the version of Cold Fusion CFML that you're using because we sponsored them to do that. So I just want to, you know, a little push for them. Okay, that's it for the CF thread demos. And I hope that you all, you know, some people I see nodding their head saying, yeah, this is good. Some of you look a little bit confused. But, you know, there's some good stuff there, and you'll want to learn about it. And get on the BlueDragon interest mailing list, download the beta. This is all going to be in the BlueDragon 7 beta, and then try it out. And this is a very powerful new feature for your Cold Fusion CFML programming. Okay. So now we're going to shift gears a little bit, go into the more marketing-ish version of the talk. So I'll try to make this as quick as possible and painless as I can. We called this talk 5 years of CF United because this is the fifth year that New Atlanta has sponsored a CFUN event or a CF United event since 2002, which was the first event where we actually announced BlueDragon. And one of the reasons that we thought that significant was is a few months ago we were sitting there planning our keynote, and I was going through all my notes for, well, what did we talk about last year, and went and ran to Dan and said, gosh, Dan, you know, this is 5 years that we've been doing this. This is, you know, that's, I didn't even realize that. So this is the second year that we've been a gold sponsor since CFUN became CF United last year. And so what I'd like to do is give you some history and background of BlueDragon, and I'm going to use each of the CFUN conferences kind of as a reference point to tell you where we were at each conference. There's a couple of key messages that I want to get through. So if you tune out the rest of the talk, get these messages before we walk away. And one message is that BlueDragon is a mature, proven product. Okay, I went and looked through our customer lists, okay, prior to this. And what I found is that BlueDragon is being used by local, state, and federal government agencies. It's being used by state and federal court systems. It's being used by local school districts and major universities. It's being used by churches, charitable organizations. It's being used by banks, insurance companies, other major financial institutions, small and medium-sized company, and then up to the largest Fortune 100 companies. So all of those categories of customers are all represented. There are hundreds of corporations and organizations who are using BlueDragon and have deployed it. This is a product that is not new anymore. So some of you, you know, who may have heard of BlueDragon, you know, in 2002 or 2003, it's kind of like, you know, what is that? You know, this is a curiosity. What's that all about? Well, what it's all about is it's a product that is being used by a lot of people, and it's very useful, and it's a mature product, and it's being very widely deployed out there. There are reasons that it's being deployed, okay? There are reasons that these companies and organizations are choosing BlueDragon because it has unique benefits as an alternative engine for deploying your CFML applications, okay? Blue Dragon is not just a copy or a clone of Cold Fusion, right? Which is what some people are going to try to tell you that it is. Blue Dragon does things that Cold Fusion doesn't do. Blue Dragon has benefits that Cold Fusion doesn't have. Okay. The reverse is true, to be fair. Cold Fusion does things that Blue Dragon doesn't do. All right? And so I'm not going to try to tell you that everybody needs to use Blue Dragon. Okay? I'm not going to try to tell you that everybody needs to switch to Blue Dragon. But some people should be using Blue Dragon. Okay? For some people, Blue Dragon is a better choice. And you might be one of those people. Okay? That's the point that I'm trying to make. So let's be clear. Don't walk out here and say, Vince said everybody should switch to Blue Dragon. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is you need to learn about Blue Dragon. Okay, so if you've been coming to these conferences for the last few years and you've heard about Blue Dragon and you've seen the logos and you've wondered what that is, you really need to find out what it is. Okay, you need to know what its strengths and weaknesses are. You need to know what it can do, what it can't do, how it's like Cold Fusion, and how it's different from Cold Fusion. And the reason that you need to know is because you need, if you're a professional developer and that's your job to deploy Cold Fusion, you need to make an informed decision, okay, of which is best for you. If you look at Blue Dragon and you analyze it and you say, gee, you know what, it's not for me, I'm going to keep using Cold Fusion, that's fine, okay? That's fine if you made an informed decision. If you made a decision based on your analysis, based on an understanding of the product, and that's the key point, is to be able to make an informed decision and choose the best product. Okay, if you don't know anything about Blue Dragon, if you're just using Cold Fusion because that's what you've always done, or because of something that you read on somebody's blog 2 years ago, or something that you heard from somebody who heard from somebody else who went to CF United, right, and you're not looking at Blue Dragon, that's not a good reason. You might not be using the best product for you, and you might not be serving whatever organization or company it is that you're working for. You might not be serving their best interest. So that's the real message that I want to get out there is you need to learn about this product, and you need to know so you can make a good decision about whether you should be using it or not. So why do people choose Blue Dragon? What we do is we regularly survey our customers. Every time we get a major customer and even some minor ones, we send them. We have a standard survey form. Why are you using Blue Dragon? Why did you choose to deploy this? You know, what do you like about it? This is what they tell us. These are the top four things that come back to us. Performance, reliability, platform integration, and platform integration both .NET and J2EE, and our knowledgeable and responsive technical support. They give us other reasons, okay, but these are the four that kind of bubble up to the top, okay, that people tell us, hey, this is why we're using Blue Dragon. This is why we like it. This is why we like you guys. There's lots of different people who benefit from Blue Dragon. There's a lot of different ways. There's a lot of different advantages, but there are three groups who really, really, really benefit a lot, and who it's almost obvious, no-brainer, that if you fall into one of these groups, you really need to take a look at it. One is BA WebLogic customers. We announced in April, and I'm going to talk some more about this later, that BEA has licensed Blue Dragon from us. They've tested it. They've certified it. They have branded it as a BEA product, and you buy it from them. Okay, you go to their website. Let me show you this here. Whoops, can't click right. So BEA. All right, so this is BEA's website, www.bea.com. You go to the WebLogic. Right here is Blue Dragon BEA WebLogic Edition. So if you're using WebLogic right now and you want to run your CFML applications on WebLogic, you need to call your BEA sales rep, okay, because you know what? You can't even buy this product from us. Okay, you go to them, they sell it, they support it, they have certified it to be integrated and to work with the WebLogic platform. Simply, the best integration with WebLogic that you're going to get is from Blue Dragon for your CFML applications. If you're a Microsoft shop, if you're running Windows and IIS and SQL Server 2005, then it's a no-brainer, folks. You really need to look at the .NET version of Blue Dragon because the reliability, the performance, the integration that you're going to get with BlueDragon.NET, it's very simple. .NET runs better on Windows than Java does. Okay, BlueDragon.NET is a pure .NET implementation of a CFML runtime. And so if you're a Microsoft shop and you're using Microsoft technologies, you really need to look at this, and you really need to know about this. The final category is what we call VAR OEMs. These are people, if you're out there, and this is, I know it tends to be a smaller group, if you have an application that you've written in CFML and you sell it as a commercial venture, then we can offer you bundling, which is a technical integration of Blue Dragon, and pricing flexibility that you may not get from another CFML server vendor. All right, we don't have fixed pricing when it comes to a VAR OEM relationship. Our pricing is based on your pricing model. So basically, if you come to us and say, look, you want to sell an application, you want to include Blue Dragon in there, the first discussion we're going to have is, well, how do you do business? How do you sell it? What do you charge your customers for it? What makes sense for you to pay us for Blue Dragon? And then we'll work out something to make sure that it works right. The other thing is, we offer you, obviously, we have the only .NET implementation of a CFML server. So if you know, we give you the opportunity to have both a .NET solution and a Java J2E solution. So if you're out there trying to sell an application and you walk into a customer or a potential client and say, well, you know, we'd like to sell your application, but it only runs on ColdFusion, and they come back and say, well, we don't run ColdFusion, we're a .NET shop. Right, we only run .NET. Well, if you have an agreement with us, with Blue Dragon, then your response can be, oh, that's okay, I can give you a .NET solution. Right? Or if they say, no, we're a Java J2E shop, you know, we run WebLogic, right? We run JBoss, we don't run ColdFusion, then you say, oh, that's okay, I'll give you a solution that runs on WebLogic, I'll give you a solution that runs on JBoss. So again, there's a lot of different people who can benefit from Blue Dragon, but if you're one of these, if you're a WebLogic customer, you're a Microsoft shop, or you need a VAR OEM, then you really need to talk to us. Right, because we think we can help you and offer solutions that's superior to any other alternative that you can find. Okay, how did we get here today? So this is what I call the Blue Dragon prehistory part of the talk, and the prehistory is everything prior to 2002. So 2002 at CFUN was the first announcement of Blue Dragon. There's a lot of different technologies that went into creating the Blue Dragon product. The first one is a product called Lasso, or FileMaker. How many Mac people know Lasso? I see someone waving back there. That's great. Lasso actually is software that I started writing in late 1995. Okay, it was a little hobby project on the side. Lasso is a C++-based web publishing language. We didn't call them application servers at that time. That word hadn't been invented. It is a tag-based language, very much like ColdFusion. In fact, the development of it started about the same time as ColdFusion. I was a Mac guy. I had never touched Windows Box, so I didn't know about ColdFusion. Started writing this code. In 1997, it was for publishing FileMaker Pro. Any of you, if you don't know FileMaker Pro, it's the leading desktop database for Macintosh. It's like the Access of Macs. FileMaker Pro is owned by Apple. It's a wholly owned subsidiary, and in 1997, we actually sold that to FileMaker, and if you go buy FileMaker today, there's what they call the Web Companion, which is a built-in web server that does web publishing, and that's all software that I originally wrote back in 95 and 1996. Of course, it's been enhanced a lot since then. Both Lasso and FileMaker are still available for sale today. You can still go buy these products. They're still actively under development. New Atlanta, we have not been involved since 1999, so I don't want to claim, you know, too much credit. None of the technology of Lasso or FileMaker is directly in Blue Dragon, so let's be clear. There's like a, you know, none of that code actually found, but the concepts of a tag-based language, which were developed at that time, and some of the programming techniques, which was very interesting to me, is that some of the programming techniques that we used to create that product are very similar to the programming techniques that ultimately were used to create Blue Dragon. So while there's not code continuity, there's a conceptual continuity of the ideas and programming that goes from Lasso and FileMaker into Blue Dragon today. So that's an important part of the story. Servlet Exec is the next important piece. Servlet Exec is a product, is New Atlanta's first product. We released that product in the summer of 1997. It was a servlet engine originally. It implemented the Java servlet spec as an add-on to IIS and Apache web servers. There was another servlet engine that was also released in the summer of 1997 called JRun. Some of you have heard of JRun. JRun was originally just a servlet engine. JRun and Servlet Exec were the first two commercial products to implement the Servlet API spec. JRun, I think, was out in July. Servlet Exec was out in August. Since then, of course, we added the Java Server pages. Since then, JRun was actually developed by a company called Live Software. I don't know if everyone knows that. Live Software was acquired by Allaire in 1999 and then was actually expanded to become a full J2EE server. So Servlet Exec is still what we call a servlet container, which means it implements the servlet spec and the Java Server pages spec, but it doesn't do, you know, JMS and all the alphabet soup of J2EE specs. Servlet Exec has been a very successful product. Over 12,000 customers have purchased Servlet Exec since it was first released in 1997. It continues to be a very good selling product. If you buy Blue Dragon Server or Server JX, you're getting Servlet Exec in the product. So Servlet Exec serves the same role in Blue Dragon that JRun does in ColdFusion MX. But it's important to realize that, you know, the lineage and the heritage of this technology goes back, you know, literally to the same time frame as JRun and even ColdFusion. JTurbo is a JDBC driver for Microsoft SQL Server. This was originally developed in 1998, a company called Ashna that was out in the San Francisco Bay Area. We acquired that from them in 2001. If you buy any of the Java J2E versions of Blue Dragon, you get JTurbo built in. You don't get, if you buy ColdFusion MX, the JDBC drivers are provided by a third party. Okay, so JTurbo, the key point there is that this is developed and supported by New Atlanta. So this is, you know, so if you have a problem with JTurbo, if there's a bug in it, we can fix it, we can deal with it right away. The final piece of Blue Dragon prehistory, and probably the most important piece, or maybe the most important piece, is Tag Servlet. Tag Servlet is the CFML runtime engine that actually does the interpretation of the CFML code. Tag Servlet was originally started development in 1997 by a company called Enery in Scotland, which was a consulting firm that built websites. They were a Java-based consulting firm. At the time that they started doing this project, they had a project for the United Nations Foreign Affairs Office in Rome. There were no JSPs, so this is actually in the time when Servlet spec was fairly new. There were no Java Server pages, so they basically built a templating engine, and they designed their own tag-based language, right? Is it starting to sound familiar, right? So they designed a tag-based language, which had nothing looked nothing like CFML, and they delivered the project to the United Nations in Rome, and that was in late 97 or early 98. After that, they discovered ColdFusion, right? And they looked at it and they said, gee, these guys have already defined a whole tag-based language. We've got an engine that processes tag-based languages. Why should we create our own language? We'll just emulate theirs, okay? And so starting in 1998, they changed that product to start doing CFML tags, CF query, CF output, the normal ones that you would expect. And they continued to use that in their consulting business. Nortel was a big customer. Company called ShopSmart.com, which was an online retailer, was actually the first public website to use this technology starting in 1998. And so we like to say in 1998, Tag Servlet was the first Java-based CFML engine. We were out about 2.5 years before CFMX with a Java-based runtime. In 2001, they actually approached us at Java One and said, and basically asking for marketing and sales and product management help with this product. The end result of those discussions were that we acquired that technology from the company in Scotland, although they continue to work with us on it. We merged all this technology, and we created Blue Dragon. The point of all this, I don't expect anyone to remember all those details, right? Well, there was a quiz at the end and a prize. You've got to get a T-shirt. The point is that you can think of Blue Dragon as a four-year-old product going back to 2002, and that's when the badge Blue Dragon first existed. But this technology and the people that have been working on it have a history that goes back 10 years and more. Okay, it goes back to literally the time of ColdFusion development, which ColdFusion came out in 1995. You know, this was late 95, early 96. And so the lineage and the experience of the engineers working on these products, this, if you go back to my original statement that I said, you know, Blue Dragon is a mature, proven product. This is why. Okay, this isn't something new. This isn't something that just sprang up overnight. This has been 10 years in the making to get where we are today in Blue Dragon, and it shows in the product. And that's why that's why we have confidence and faith in the product, and that's why the customers that I mentioned earlier do too, because it is a mature product and it's a good product. Okay, we're going to go quickly through these next slides. Blue Dragon was announced in 2002. CF North, actually, if anyone remembers that conference, was actually the first place we ever publicly released Blue Dragon, CFUN 02. We actually called it Blue Dragon 3.0, and the reason we called it Blue Dragon 3.0 is because the tag servlet engine that I mentioned previously had actually gone through 1.0 and 2.0 iterations. And so when we said Blue Dragon, instead of calling it Blue Dragon 1.0, we said, nope, this is the third iteration, called it Blue Dragon 3.0. It was only available in Java J2EE. We did not have a .NET version, and we had a CF5 compatible feature set at that time. And again, it was in beta testing at CFUN 02. And was anyone here then? Does anybody remember? That's good. Did you come talk to us? Remember, who are these guys, right? What are they doing? What's this Blue Dragon thing all about? Okay. By the time of CFUN 03, Blue Dragon 3.0 had been out for 9 months. Okay, we released it in September of 02. And we had earned our first major customers. And our first major customers were American Airlines. American Airlines, this is a WebLogic-based deployment. They came to us because Blue Dragon had the ability to deploy as a standard WAR file. For those of you who might remember your history, know that when ColdFusion MX first came out, it could not deploy as a standard WAR file. Blue Dragon, this was a unique feature that we first introduced again in 2002. I'm not sure exactly when ColdFusion MX introduced that feature. And so the common question that we get is, when are we going to catch up to ColdFusion? How long does it take for us to catch up? And I said, well, I'm not really sure about that, but it takes them about 18 months to 2 years to catch up to us, right? A little facetious to that. Digital Insight, same story. Digital Insight is a company in Atlanta that sells software to banks. Same reason. They're actually a WebSphere shop. They needed the standard WAR file deployment. We also were able to do some things for them on their CORBA features that they were not able to get working successfully on CFMX. They have sold their software into Bank of America, other companies. By the way, that American Airlines site, a few weeks before when I was preparing this, I contacted the engineer that developed that. That's an intranet application. It's been in production for over 3 years. There's not been one single outage of that related to Blue Dragon that they've pointed at us. They're very happy with the product, and that application continues to run today. Also in 03, and actually this kind of surprised me when I look back through my notes, we actually announced BlueDragon.net at CFUN 03 and gave a technology demonstration. In fact, my talk there was about BlueDragon.net. So it was actually 3 years ago that we first introduced this technology and first announced that we were going to do it. By CFUN 04, we had released Blue Dragon 6.1, so we jumped from the 3.0 release to the 6.1 release. It actually does make sense. The reason that we did that is because CFMX 6.1 had come out, and basically this was our CFMX 6.1 compatible feature set. And so we thought, okay, we were originally going to call it 3.1, and we figured, no, the best way to sort of signal people what this release is all about is let's bump it to 6.1. We implemented CFCs, web services, XML. Basically, it was a 6.1 compatible. And again, it was Java J2E only at that time. However, we did begin beta testing at BlueDragon.net shortly after CFUN 04. So that's now 2 years ago. CFUN 05. How many people? CF United 05, right? I guess most people were here last year, right? Heard about the announcement of BlueDragon.net, which was also the 6.2 release, which was released in March of 2005. We also announced the fact that MySpace.com had signed an agreement with us and made the initial purchases to start their migration from ColdFusion 5 to BlueDragon.net. I assume most people have heard of MySpace.com, right? Know what that is. It's now the second largest internet website. It's second only to Yahoo, measured in the amount of traffic that it generates. The latest numbers I have, which are actually a few months old, so these numbers are probably bigger, is that they're serving 40 billion page views a month. 1.5 billion page views a day on that website. And as of today, there are hundreds and hundreds of BlueDragon.net servers powering that website. So that's where we've come since last year of 05. which actually brings us to CFinite 06 today. The main story that we have for you today is the tremendous success that BlueDragon.net has had over the past year. Companies such as HealthGrades.com, a Denver-based company, the interesting story about HealthGrades is actually they were switching from Colt CFMX 7. They were having performance and reliability issues. They actually took a website that was running on 14 servers on CFMX 7 and are now running it on 4 servers on BlueDragon.net because of the performance gains that they were able to get. Ebags.com, I understand Ebags.com is an old line Cold Fusion retailing site. They have switched entirely over to BlueDragon.net. 6pm.com, which is a sister site of Ebags, and Tumi.com, which is actually developed by the Ebags people for Tumi Company. All of those sites are now running on BlueDragon.net. There are many, many more companies that, you know, public. These are all public websites, by the way. That's the reason I pulled them out. So you can go visit any of these websites and see that they're all running on BlueDragon.net. Of course, we announced that, as I mentioned earlier, that BEA has licensed Blue Dragon to resell with their J2E server. And so this is huge news. BEA did a full certification and testing. This was months in the working. They didn't simply take Blue Dragon and say, oh, yeah, we're going to use it. They tested it. They made sure it worked. They made sure that it integrated with WebLogic. They made sure that it met their standards for performance and reliability. Okay, and only then did they say, okay, we're going to put our name on it. Right, we're going to call this a BEA product and we're going to sell it. So this is a huge endorsement from one of the biggest enterprise software companies in the world, right, to say, hey, this is good technology. This is such good technology that we're going to put our name on it. We're going to sell it. We're going to support it. So again, if you're a WebLogic customer, you need to take a look at this. And then finally, we're announcing BlueDragon 7. Let's go through the feature set real quick. I've got about 10 minutes here. Public beta, late July or early August. We'll announce this on Blue Dragon Interest, which is our Blue Dragon mailing list. We'll announce it on CF Talk. Any of you that are familiar with CF Talk, my blog, which is aggregated on Full as a Goog, so there's lots of places that you can find the announcements, or you can check the downloads page, or I'm being told that you can actually go to our website now. Let's see. All right, Josh, is it going to be there? Okay, so Blue Dragon, here we go. So if you go to our website, www.newatlanta.com, there's this link here that says Blue Dragon 7 announced. To keep informed, sign up here. And so if you click this link, enter your email address, we'll send you an email when the beta is available. So that way you can keep informed about that. Final release, October. You know, mid-October is our current target date for the final release of Blue Dragon 7. Let's take a look at the features. Key thing to know is all features are in all editions unless otherwise noted. So every feature that I mentioned here is in the Java editions of Blue Dragon as well as the .NET editions. There's only two features that doesn't apply to. Multi-threaded programming we've already talked about that's going to be available in the Java and .NET editions of Blue Dragon. We're doing some enhancements to CF Query. Now, the first one is only available in SQL Server 2005 and BlueDragon.net. This is a new attribute to CF Query called cached until change. Any of you who use CF Query caching, use the cached within, know that there's two problems with cached within. Well, the one problem with cached within is, what's the right cache time? Is it a minute? Is it an hour? Is it a day? Okay. And the thing is you never can get it exactly right because, one, you're going to end up with stale data in your cache at some point, right? So if you set it for an hour, the data changes, you've got stale data now until you refresh it. Cached until change says, I'm going to cache that data until it changes. And I'm only going to refresh my cache. And again, this is the reason this only works with SQL Server 2005 is because it's a new feature of 2005. Basically, what we can do is register for a notification that says, tell me when this data changed. And so what we've got is we've got perfect caching. There's never any stale data in the cache, and you only hit the database when you need to. So this is if you're a SQL Server 2005 customer and you're using Windows and IIS, this is a feature that you'll be very interested in. We're also adding a background attribute that will allow you to do things like inserts, updates, and deletes on a background thread, very similar to what CF threading would do, except all you do is add this attribute to CF Query. We're adding a new null keyword. So null is going to be a first-class citizen of CFML. Thank you. So apparently, you all know what that's good for, so I don't have to talk about that. CFC interfaces via CF interface tag. So no reaction to that one. Okay. All these features that I just listed, by the way, these are unique BlueDragon features. You're only going to find these features on BlueDragon. You're not going to find them on any other CFML server product. Then the other thing we're doing with BlueDragon is we're bringing ourselves up to CFMX7 compatibility. We're adding application CFC support. We are adding some enhancements. On client start handler. So right now you know that you've got on application start, on session start. We're going to add on client start. We're also adding an on missing template handler, which will allow you to do custom missing template processing per application. So right now, basically all you've got is the global site-wide 404 handler. We're going to let you do it on a per application basis. CF document is going to be supported in all the .NET editions. We do not support flash paper, so we support PDF, and we're also adding PNG and JPEG as output formats. And if I get just a minute here, that's really cool for creating thumbnails of web pages. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and see if I can pull that one up. Let's see if we can get that. Let's get 80. Tell you what, while that's running in the background, let's look at the rest. PNG and JPEG support in CF document. Also, CF document will be multi-threaded on all editions of BlueDragon. You will not have to buy the Enterprise Edition of BlueDragon in order to get multi-threaded CF document. So, thank you. However, the free version of BlueDragon will not have CF document at all. So you're not going to get CF document for free, but you can buy the JX edition and get multi-threaded CF document. We're also doing CF chart. We're adding some I guess would be considered relatively minor enhancements, legends, titles, the ability to do a background image on CF chart. And let me show you what that looks like. So let's go back to here, and let's do our CF document and take a look at thumbnails. And let's see, while that's running, let's take a look at. By the way, this is IE7, if anyone's curious as to which browser that I'm running. So here's run. This is also running on a virtual PC, so it's a little bit slow to get some of these things done. What we're showing here, this is CF chart. We've got a chart image tag. That's how we put the BlueDragon background image. This is a new enhancement that you're going to get on BlueDragon. The ability to have a title, the open bugs, you can actually position that title and change the font and the size, and the ability to have a legend on the chart. These are some enhancements that we're putting to the CF chart tag. And now if I look at my CF document, this is where I've actually created JPEGs. These were rendered live. Okay, this is not something that it stored on disk. We actually went and rendered Yahoo, Google, and New Atlantis homepage. So what this can allow you to do is create thumbnails of pages on your website. So right now, if you have an index page on your website where people can go, you're familiar with the kind of index, well, you could actually create little thumbnails of all those pages and have people click on that. So it's kind of a fun little feature that, different uses. And let's see, I'm almost done here. Okay, we're enhancing CF search. We're adding languages other than English. There's about 18 different languages. We're adding support for Word and PDF. CF timer was a new CFMX7 tag. There were some SOAP-related functions added in CFMX7, and basically there was a grab bag of other things added in CFMX7. Some security-related enhancements, isvalid, CF param enhancements. We're picking up all those things in BlueDragon 7. MySQL 5, if you're a MySQL user, you know that stored procedures were the big new feature of MySQL 5. We've implemented that, including BlueDragon.net will support stored procedures for MySQL 5. Native 64-bit support for Windows and Linux. Performance enhancements, always want to do performance enhancements every release. And the ever-popular bug fixes will be available in BlueDragon 7. For completeness, I have to tell you that there are three major features of CFMX7 that we do not have in BlueDragon 7. the event gateways, flash forms, reporting services will not be in BlueDragon 7. So basically, BlueDragon 7 will be equivalent to CFMX 7 with the exception of these three features plus the enhancements that I mentioned previously. So that's pretty much how that's positioned. What's going to happen in BlueDragon future? First of all, we're already planning on another major release of BlueDragon in 2007. We don't know whether that's going to be 7.1 or 8.0 or 7.5, but there will be another major release, and it will focus primarily on Windows Vista and IIS 7 integration. So we're basically going to time the release to come out with Windows Vista Server, which is right now scheduled for the second half of 2007. Some of that feature work is actually already underway. It's just no point really in releasing it prior to IIS 7. We are looking at Atlas integration. Any of you who saw Microsoft's presentation yesterday, the bottom line is we're looking at CFML equivalents to the ASP.NET server controls that they have so that you'll be able to do all the cool stuff that he showed without using ASP.NET. You'll be able to do that in CFML. Some longer-term things that we're looking at that would be beyond 2007, a Visual Studio plugin, Flash Flex integration are things that are on the table for consideration, not committed yet. Reporting services, same thing. Those are things that we're looking at. And again, those last two, a lot of it depends on feedback we get from customers, and people tell us that those are things that they want as to whether we put forth the effort to do it. And that's it. Thank you very much. We've got about 400 t-shirts here. I think there's less than 400 people here, so come get a t-shirt.
Thank you for listening, and we hope we will see you at CF United 2007. This has been a production by TerraTech Programming. For more information, go to www.cfunited.com.